It's impacted so many people. So I want us to look today at God's Word and see, what does God's Word teach us and tell us? How can God help us? As you see, my title says, "You will lend to many and not borrow." That's my theme. I hope it will get in your mind and in your heart. I want to look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Then I'll be going to a few different places in the scripture. Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse number 12. "The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom." Isn't that an encouraging piece of scripture there for us? This was the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel in a context of obedience. If you obey the commands of the Lord, so many good things would happen. So many blessings would happen. And just as it speaks here, those blessings, those promises from God, those type of promises are still available to us, to you and I, here today, if we are willing to follow the commands of God and follow his spiritual principles. God can work in our lives. He can bless us. And the key from this passage today, we see a few nice things there, but the key that I want us to focus on is that part that says that you will lend and not borrow. That sounds like a foreign concept to many people, doesn't it? And whether you're here in person or watching online, we know that many, many people struggle with indebtedness and borrowing. And so this is a very important topic. I believe that the majority of people here today listening to this message need this encouragement in their lives. So let's learn from God's Word today as I preach to you. But this sounds so nice if we could really live this out, wouldn't it? And for our nation to live this out. But unfortunately, it's not the current reality for so many people, for actually the majority of people in our country. A man called the police and reported that all of his wife's credit cards had been stolen. Then he added, "But don't look too hard for the thief. He's charging less than my wife ever did." Yeah. Someone said, "In America, more honest wedding vows would be 'until debt do us part.'" Yeah, all right. Got a little smile out of you on that one. All right, here's one more for you. "The only reason a great many American families don't own an elephant is that they've never been offered an elephant for a dollar down in easy weekly payments." Isn't that right? You know, all these marketing gimmicks that try to entrap us into, you know, making spending decisions. And some of these are not good decisions. And when you become a believer, our spending decisions should also be spiritual decisions. Isn't that right? And God's Word wants to help us as we navigate every season of life, but especially as we've been in this season with so much chaos and so many things changing. The majority of people in the United States live paycheck to paycheck. And prior to the pandemic, research said that 78% of workers fit that category. 78%. Prior to the pandemic, 7 million people were 3 months or more behind in car payments. Now let me ask you this. Has the pandemic made things less complicated or more complicated? Yeah, more complicated. So you understand the situations that we face and many people face, including many of you listening here today. We all have faced these type of issues in our lives. As a nation, our national debt is $28 trillion. That's equivalent to $86,000 per citizen. So it's basically, congratulations, you've been born. You owe $86,000 of future taxes. You know, this all sounds like bad news, doesn't it? It sure does. It sounds like a lot of bad news. But the good news is that if we enter into walking in the principles of God, things can turn around in our lives. That's the promise that God has for us. If we can change what we're doing and do things God's way, there is hope. God can change things in your life. Now, this is your decision of faith in this moment. Because I understand some people are dealing with financial problems that seem to be enormous right now. But this is your opportunity to believe God, that God can do the impossible if you'll do things God's way. Amen? So let's talk about this topic. I started by saying you will lend to many and not borrow. That sounds great. And some people are having a hard time envisioning that, but I believe it's a spiritual principle that we could, that the Lord could help us with, all of us. So let's start. What is the biblical principles regarding borrowing and lending money? Let's talk about lending first. There are certainly many warnings and negative things that it says about lending and borrowing, but when it talks specifically in regards to lending, we could find it in scriptures in both in some positive connotation and as well as negative. When it talks about lending in a positive way, it's usually referring to it more as an act of giving. So let's look at a few places. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this: "If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back." Well, there, the word lending sure sounds like giving, doesn't it? Yeah, and that's the concept that Jesus is talking about. When Jesus is talking, he's always talking about giving, and that's what God does. God gives. And so when he's using a phrase like this, it's having that type of spirit, having that type of living life with that type of generous spirit, that we help others, that we're not just, looking to gain off others, but we're helping others. And so here, lending looks like giving. And look what it says in Psalm chapter 112, verse 5. "Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely." Well, several other places in Scripture where I'm not going to get to today, it talks about lending to people in their spiritual community without charging interest. It was a means of helping those who were needy. Looking out for people and not taking advantage of them. So how do you know that if someone is in need, you could either help them or take advantage of them, especially if you have the opportunity to do something, to lend or whatever the case might be. So when Scripture talks about it, it's talking about as a way of helping those who are in need. And that was the concept. So here's two questions to ponder. Should I lend to anyone who asks? And second, should I lend money to family? Ooh, two dangerous questions, aren't they? Yeah, they sure are dangerous questions. Well, by biblical standards, from what we read and conceptually what I'm just talking about, we can lend without the expectation of repayment. And that sounds a lot more like giving, doesn't it? But how about this? If you follow these two principles, don't give what you can't afford to give. And don't lend what you can't afford to lose. As a church, we believe in giving. We do. And, God is a giver, and that's what we teach. That's what we believe. And many people give generously here. We give our tithes back to the Lord. We give offerings. We give to help others in the community, out in missions. But don't try to give something that you really can't give. Don't try to lend to someone something that, if it doesn't work out the way you think, that you're going to be in big, big trouble. You got to do things wisely. If you know someone has a need and you have the ability to help them, then do what is in your heart. But it's better to approach it as a gift if possible. It's okay to lend to someone in need, but if you can't afford to lose it, it's better not to give it, because otherwise you're going to have some hard feelings later. You might get yourself into trouble. You might damage that relationship. Make a loan if you could afford to forgive it. How about that? Otherwise, if something goes bad, you're going to feel the pain. And lending money to someone does not always help that person in the long run. We all have problems. We all get into a jam and a mess from time to time. And sometimes you could help some person in that mess temporarily, but it might not solve the underlying problems long term. And so it might just be a short-term band-aid. One time I felt I wanted to help someone who was a friend. And they were in a big mess, and they had really a lot of high-interest debt that was just compounding and compounding and compounding. And so I decided I was going to help them, but I was going to approach it as though if they can't pay me back, I'm going to forgive them. Now, I didn't want to tell them that, what was in my mind, because I wanted them to start to learn something in the process. And this was my deal, that I would help them, but they had to set up a financial plan with me. Now, not everybody wants to do that, but that was my terms. I'm willing to help you, but we have to work through this, that this is not just a short-term fix, that we are fixing your long-term issues. And so that's what we did. And, you know, that person, you know, went through that process with me, and I was able to help them, and they learned a lot, and it was actually life-changing for them. And I felt good. I was able to help someone, and then in the end, they were able to see real life change happen for them. So we thank God for moments like that. But that was a rare situation for me in my life. That's very rare because, you know, those situations are very dangerous and delicate because very often those things don't always work out the way that we expect. Too often when you lend money to someone, there can be problems. And people usually have good intentions, but when there are financial problems, lending money doesn't always solve their problems. So if someone wants to borrow from you, be wise about the situation. Help them if you can, if you feel that you should and you can. But I suggest you only help them with what you could afford not to be repaid and to ultimately be able to forgive it in the end. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for a damaged relationship. It's better to be more upfront and disappoint someone if you can't do it than to really just have a damaged relationship and bitter feelings later on. It's okay to say no if you don't feel comfortable with it. I know sometimes people will give you the guilt trip of, well, I thought you were a Christian. Well, yes, you are a Christian, so you want to help, but you also need to follow God's word about making wise decisions in your life. So you have to balance that out of being kind and compassionate and helpful, but also being wise with your own financial life. You only do what you can do. You can't solve everyone's problems. You can't help every need. Help what you can, do what you can. But if you can't, you don't have to feel guilty when you have to say no. Well, scripture continues to talk about this. Proverbs chapter 11 talks about lending to someone that you don't know well. Look what it says in Proverbs 11:15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to shake hands in a pledge is safe. See that? It's better to say no, you find safety, than to make the wrong decision with someone where the decision might go bad. So be very careful. Proverbs 22 says this, do not be one who shakes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to repay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. That doesn't sound good, does it? No, it warns us, be very careful with debt in your life. Otherwise, you could pay a bigger price later on. So don't feel bad if someone asks you to co-sign a loan and you say no. You should say no. I have never found a situation where I felt comfortable co-signing a loan for anyone. You don't have to do it. So be very careful what you get yourself in. Things don't always work out the way people hope them to. People always have good intentions. We always mean well. But look, you never know what life is going to throw at you, what curveballs might happen. Did anyone see this pandemic coming? Only God. You know, so you don't know what's going to happen. Be very careful how you handle those type of situations in your life. All right, here is the next question for you, for us. Is it okay to take on personal debt? Well, we talk about the danger of lending, but can I go to a bank or somewhere and borrow for myself? Well, Scripture doesn't explicitly say it's a sin to take on debt. But normally, everywhere you find debt being talked about, it's talking about it very negatively, and it gives some very strong warnings about it. So be very careful about what it says. Look what it says in Proverbs 22:7. The borrower is slave to the lender. That doesn't sound good, does it? But how many of us know what that's talking about? If anyone here has had some kind of debt that you were trying to pay off, you understand what that means and what that feels like. Sometimes you're working and working just to pay off that indebtedness. It feels like such a burden. And when a big problem with getting into debt is sometimes you feel like you're just trying to dig yourself out and continuously trying to dig yourself out. And for some people, that problem can mount very quickly. Maybe you're feeling the stress of something. You're here right now. God can help you. And that's why we're here talking about this. You're not alone. The great majority of people in this room or watching online either have felt like this previously or feel like this now. And the statistics I gave to you wasn't dependent on income or this thing or that thing. This is an everyone problem that we need to fix. We need to get right. Well, how many of you had a debt, whether it was a student loan or a car payment, whatever it was, and you finished paying it and your debt was clear? What did you feel like after that? Oh, that sigh of relief. It feels like there's a burden that just came off of you. It's like, it feels so good. Like you don't even know how to explain it, but it feels so good. A weight has been lifted. Many people live from one loan to the next loan, from one balance to the next balance, and debt becomes a way of life. That's how it's become here in America, that it's just a way of life. People can't even imagine having a life without having debt, or don't even think about having a life without debt. But yet, we can. We can. If we do things God's way, He can help us solve these issues in our lives. A major problem about continuing to carry debt endlessly is because interest is constantly working against you rather than working for you. When you have interest in positive returns working in your favor, it's compounding in a good way for your future. But when interest is growing on all of these different things and it's growing it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. When you're just making minimum payments on your credit cards, that interest is growing and growing and multiplying against you. You end up paying for things much higher price. You say, I got this on sale. But then when you don't pay it off in 2 years, it's twice the price than the sale price. You see what I'm saying? So you got to be very careful with these type of things. We want interest compounding in our favor, not against us. And the only way to do that is to stay out of debt and to knock off all of our debt. We spend less, we save more, we pay debt at all costs to get rid of it in our life. Here's the next question. Is all debt bad? Well, some debt is more harmful to your financial future than others. Some really bad debt is consumer debt, using credit cards for shopping trips. I mean, that gets people into big, big troubles that some people have a hard time digging out of. And when you don't pay it off and the interest just goes on, you could be in big, big trouble. What about car debt? We all need a car. We live on Long Island. Don't we need a car to survive and get around? Of course we do. We all need a reliable car. But how about a car that we could afford? Now, I know the pandemic has made things crazy. If anyone's been car shopping right now, prices are bananas. I mean, used cars, cars go down in value, not up. But right now, prices are higher because of all the shortages and supply chain issues. You might need to just wait things out a little more rather than make a bad financial decision. If you could wait things out, save a little more, let some of the craziness die down, maybe you'll be better off financially. A big problem, I already said, 7 million people were 3 months behind in payments before the pandemic. You know, the monthly payments look affordable to that slick salesman when they're talking to you, but it might not really be affordable. You're better off to live with a cheaper car a little bit longer until you could afford something else. If you could afford something wonderful and beautiful and new, we rejoice with you. But don't get over your head if you don't have to. You know, you have much more value if you buy a car that's 1 or 2 years old, because as soon as you drive a new car off the lot, depreciation hits thousands of dollars. You know, so whatever situation you find yourself in, it's okay. You want to have a nice car, reliable car. You need it. But make sure it's something you could afford. Going into debt for a big, beautiful car can really hurt your financial future. You want to invest in things that go up in value, not down in value. So the next thing is a house. Is it good? Is it okay to take debt or mortgage on a house? Dave Ramsey is a Christian financial advisor. We do a lot of classes here at the church with his material. And he is totally against every kind of debt except for a reasonable mortgage. And why? Because a house normally appreciates in value. You're going to be living in the house, and in the long run, it's going to go up in value. Now, again, the housing market is crazy right now. Isn't it crazy? But it's gone up faster than what's expected. And things are not always going to go up this fast. Usually it increases a little bit slower. But this has been a crazy period where things have increased fast. But some of the craziness is going to die down. Right now there are bidding wars out of control. I was watching a house. You know, I bought a house a little over a year ago. And since then, just the bidding wars have been crazy. So I've continued to watch things. And there was a house not too far from me that I was watching. And I saw the price that they put it at. And I was watching this house because I wanted to know, are they really going to get this price on this house? They didn't. They got $90,000 more. Could you imagine that type of bidding war? You know, don't get caught up in all the hysteria. Things are increasing in the housing market, but you might not have to be in a bidding war while everything is so crazy. Maybe you need to wait a little longer. Maybe you need to save a little bit more, wait a little bit longer, and how about this, pray a little bit more too, that God leads you to the right place. I thank God. Now, I saved a long time. We looked at a lot of houses, and we thank God. When we prayed, God led us to a house. We didn't go into a bidding war for it. So sometimes you need to get out of the hysteria, calm down a little bit, and really think things through. What is a good financial decision to make? And if you're buying a house, make sure it's something you can afford. Don't get caught up in something that later you're going to be feeling the stress and being crushed by the payments you have to make. I know my dad talked many years, you heard him preach, about getting a 15-year mortgage instead of a 30-year mortgage. Dave Ramsey says the same thing, because you'll pay a little bit more each month, so you might have to tighten your belt, but you'll save $50,000, $100,000 or more dollars in the long run in interest. Well, when it was time for me to get a house, I said, all right, I better follow the same thing we teach. I had to tighten my belt a little bit. I said, okay, but this is what we're going to do. It's better to sacrifice more when you can and make a good financial decision for the long run if that's what you can do. But there's so many other things we could talk about. I mean, another thing, we're in a student loan crisis across our country. We all have heard about that. Be wise when you make education decisions. Parents, you got to guide your kids. You know, we got to get things right first, but then we have to help guide our kids, or they're going to make decisions that are bad. Go to an affordable college. Pay it off. You know, too many people, they spend too much money on a college and they get a job that doesn't pay the bills later. I went to college at a state school. I paid my way through my bachelor's degree. That's what I did. It's good to do that. It's okay to do that. Maybe it doesn't sound normal to do it, but you know what? It's a good financial decision for your future. People get consumed by debt, and the scriptures warn us over and over of the traps of debt. So be very careful. Listen to the warnings of the scripture and avoid it and pay it off. Do whatever you need to do. So here we are. How do we conquer the debt problem in our lives? We can't conquer every problem in our society, but how can we do it as individuals, as families? How can we change and do things God's way? This way we know we have a good future that's ahead of us. Well, how about the first thing is that we learn to live within our means? 1 Timothy says this in chapter 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Isn't that a good piece of scripture for us, that we need to be content? You don't have to compete with everyone else around you. And that's a problem. Sometimes we think, oh, they have that, I need to have it. This is there, oh, I need that too. You can't live like that. You're going to get caught up in the trap that everyone else falls into. A part about being a Christian is learning that spiritual things have value, and some material things, you don't have to spend your whole life consumed by them. You could live a life in contentment. We live on less. Sometimes we make hard decisions, and sometimes you do that for a season of life. But by God's grace, you'll get through it. You do it for a season of sacrifice, and you get through it. It's better to make cuts now than to have an emergency later. You never know what's coming up later. You know, I went to the store. My wife gave me a shopping list, and I looked at the price of beef, and I came home, and I said, honey, we're eating chicken. Now, my wife is from Bolivia in South America. One-third of Bolivians' diets are beef. Is beef. So we had to make the sacrifice. But now chicken has gone up. I don't know. We might start eating beans. You do what you got to do. You know, some of those things are going to calm down too. You know, all of these things are out of whack. All these supply chain and this and that. Some of those things are going to calm down. But for a season of life, you might have to adjust, adapt, make a sacrifice. It's okay. We all have to do it. You know, some of you know I drove my car for a long, long time, and people would criticize me. When are you going to get a new car? You should get a new car. Oh, you got a family now. You got to get a car. I'm like, mind your own business. Leave me alone. You know, you don't got to compete with everyone else. I was like, I'm going to get the house and then the car. Why? It was financially wise. You got to make the right decision. Don't let someone else's decisions dictate your decision. It's okay to wait longer if you got to get a car, if you got to get a house. You need some of those things. Wait, pray, save, sacrifice. Those are good things. Those are necessary things. If you allow debt just to take over your life, it can consume you. And then you got to work harder to get out of it. Well, what else can we do to get out of the debt in our life? We need to prioritize paying off our debt. You don't have to be like the average American, just being accustomed to always having debt in your life. The sooner you pay off your debt, the faster you'll have interest working for you instead of against you. Maybe you could pick up a part-time job just to help you. Maybe it's for a season, just so you could knock off that debt as fast as you can. It's not a problem to work hard. God's word teaches us to work hard. So that might be something you can do. Some short-term sacrifice can help you to feel liberty later on. So there are different practical ways to do this in our lives, but we have to get things right. We want God to help us. We have to take a step to do the right thing. I know this, that if you take a step of faith and start to make changes, and then you're praying, God will help you. Maybe he'll give you an opportunity that wasn't there before. Maybe there'll be something. Maybe you go for that house and there's not a bidding war where maybe you thought there would have been. Maybe you get a discount when you shouldn't have gotten a discount. God can help you. If you take the steps to do your part and implement what God's word teaches, you take these things seriously, then you will see God start to work in your life in ways that maybe you never saw him work before. And we have to believe this by faith. If we are believers, we believe that God can transform situations. Even if things look impossible to you right now, God can make a way. You start small, you take some steps, God can help you. How did I start this message? You will lend to many and not borrow. That sure would feel good, wouldn't it? Can we believe God for that in our lives? Can we take steps towards that in our lives? I think we can. I think we can. Let's all go to God in prayer right now. Why don't we stand together and pray? You know, for us, it's going to be more than just prayer today. It's going to be, we pray, but then we walk out these doors. We might have to take a few steps. Is that right? But we always need to start with prayer. Everything we do includes prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, we could turn to you in all things. And Lord, when we read your word, it gives us a picture of a transformed life. Lord, that we could have the ability to help others, to bless others, to give freely. Lord, we thank you that our church is now debt-free. Our mortgage has been paid. Help us as a church to give more to those in need, locally and overseas. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the families and individuals here. Lord, help us to make a change. So many are struggling even now. They listen to this message. They realize that change is needed. Maybe in this moment, they put their faith in you, believing that things can be different, that this message is for them. It's not just for someone else. Today, it's for them. So, Lord, we're believing you. Lord, that we can be those type of people that can freely give and lend to others and not be burdened with the debt that seems to overtake us. Help us, Lord, take those right steps in our lives. Help us to see the changes we need to make. Give us wisdom. Give us guidance. We pray, Lord, a special blessing upon everyone here. We pray also, Lord, for anyone else with any other needs in this place today, whether it be a physical need, a relational need. Lord, whatever it might be that someone is going through here today, we know that you are able to touch us where we are, to do more than we could ever ask or think. That is your promise from the scriptures. We thank you in Jesus' name.